welcome to the call.
Hi, Birgit. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. I'm looking forward to this.
So am I.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, I said a little bit about how you got started, but can you tell us a little bit more detail on why you and how you got going online?
Sure. It was kind of an accident. You know, when you don't really know much about online marketing and you get this spam thing, you know, we were having a hard time financially about 5 years ago. My husband was in Pennsylvania working because he was sick, and we were living down here in Florida, so we were paying bills for two places, you know, and I got this email that said that somebody had a job for me. They saw my resume on Career Builder, and I'm thinking, oh, cool, you know. So what it turned out to be was an employment site, right, and they were going to make the people who joined the site pay rather than the employer. So their concept was they were going to get all these big companies. Basically, it was to promote this website. So it was just like any other internet marketing opportunity, but I had no idea. I didn't know anything about it. So, you know, after a while, I figured it out.
You just taught yourself?
Yeah. I mean, but by then, it was like fun. You know, how much money can I make and how many people can I get involved in this? Because it was a pretty good site, I thought. As it turns out, they ended up closing the site down and nobody got paid. So it was one of those fly-by-night operations, but silly me didn't know the difference.
Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I started like every other newbie that comes into this knowing absolutely nothing. And I've taught myself. I've been in it 5 years now, and it took me, you know, really 2 years. At the end of 2 years, I said, you know what, I'm not getting very far with this. And I wasn't, because I didn't know anything about building a list or, you know, I was hanging out with people. How do I say this? They were great people, but they didn't think big. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were happy to make their $3,000 to $4,000 a month and just sit there and be happy, and they didn't do joint ventures, and they didn't do anything that they should have done to be really, really successful. So I thought, you know what, I'm getting nowhere here. I need somebody to help me. So I was on this call, right, with Thelman Knudsen, and he's talking about how his students are doing really well, and he's pointing to all the money they're making and all this by following his system, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really awesome. So he's offering this coaching program, right, which was like outrageous. He was giving that. He was giving his perpetual marketing machine, which is a $4,000 program, and I'm thinking, you know, this is great. How much is it going to be? Well, when he says $500 a month, I'm like, oh, my God. But you know what? Something in the back of my head said, go get that credit card that you just paid off and do it.
So that's how you got going.
That's how I did it. I became his student. And, you know, we got to knowing each other, and he knew I was a writer. He needed somebody to write for him. And that was me. All the articles you see out there, they're me. So that I've been working for him, 2 years now, a little over 2 years. But that's how I got smarter. That's how I got to know people in the industry more, famous isn't a good word, more celebrities in the internet marketing industry. And that's helped me tremendously. I've been able to do joint ventures with people like Mike Morgan and, you know, I mean, it's just been totally, completely different than it would have been had I stayed in that other mindset.
So you're working with people who are, by all means, what people consider successful, and they think big, and
mm-hmm.
It's probably fun to be surrounded by that type of people every day.
Oh, it is. But, you know, if you follow people like T. Harv Eker, right,
mm-hmm.
or any of these people who teach you how to be more successful, they tell you to hang around with people who make more money than you do. If you want to be a millionaire, you need to hang around with millionaires, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's generally the concept, and I've made more money in the last year than, you know, I made in the whole 4 years before that. So
that's fantastic, and next year is going to be even better, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Why did you start blogging for boomers.com?
Why? I was talking to a friend of mine, Andy Duncan, who you know.
I do.
And we were just talking one day, and he says, you know, what do you like to do? I said, blogging. I love it. I manage all the blogs for Overcome Everything. You know, I can tear them apart and put them back together. I just love blogs. And I love writing in them and all the things that it entails. So he says, well, you know, why don't you do something about blogging? And it just came to me, what about blogging for boomers? I mean, there's so many people my age. I'm 56 years old. There's a lot of people.
You look a lot younger.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
But, you know, they're out there trying to make some extra money because they're coming up on retirement and they don't have the savings that they should. So, or they're just bored, you know, looking for something to do, and they want to make a little money and feel. So I thought, this is an awesome opportunity. I'll just do blogging for boomers and go with the crowd that I know, that I'm part of, and see if I can't help these people get their act together and help them to make some money too. So that's how it all started.
Oh, that's great. So why are blogs a good traffic generator?
Blogs are awesome for getting traffic because they have embedded in them. They already come standard with any kind of blog you have. Something that's called an RSS feed, which means really simple syndication. Okay, and what it is, there's no pictures, there's no code, there's no nothing. It's plain text. If you look at an RSS feed in a text editor, it just looks like a jumble of words. You can't, you know, make any sense of it. You need a feed reader to read it, like Blog Lines or Blog Rover. There's all different kinds. You can read them through Firefox. You can read them in, you know, Google. There's all kinds of readers. But that's something that's very important for search engines because spiders don't get hung up. They can go through a blog and read it in, you know, a millisecond.
What's a spider?
I'm sorry. A search engine spider is a little robot that they send out, or a pulse or whatever, mm-hmm. that the search engines send out in the web to find information, okay? And you want that spider to come to your site often, that you want it to see your work. You want them to know what it's about. You want to use the correct keywords in what you do, and then you're going to get more reputation with them, and you're going to get ranked by them, and you're going to, you know, rise in the search engine results pages. And blogs make it really, really easy to do that. So that's why they're great traffic generators, because when you rise in the search engine results pages, if you're on page one of Google for a good keyword, you're going to get a lot of traffic. And you know what? It's free traffic. You don't have to pay for it. So using a blog to get that traffic is one of the easiest ways to get started online.
Do you use meta tags in a blog too? And if you do,
yep.
Can you explain what a meta tag is?
Sure. Actually, in a blog, you don't use meta tags as much as you use plain tags. Meta tags are generally for an HTML page, and what they are they're tags that tell these search engine spiders what your page is about. So
that's
title,
more an HTML page is a normal website, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. But your blog also has a title and a description. Okay? So you want to use your keyword in your blog title, and you can do that right in WordPress. You can change it very easily by going into your settings. I think the general settings, as a matter of fact. You want your keyword in your blog title, and you want a plain English description that describes, you know, what your blog is about. And it has to be kind of short for a blog, but you can be much longer when you're talking about a regular HTML page, but it's still important for a blog. So, yeah.
How can
did
I
that
make
my... Sense?
Oh. Sorry, Pat, what were you saying?
I said, did that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
That's very helpful. We have to always remember about the words that we use because in the internet marketing field, there's so many and some people don't know. And I'm constantly learning from my husband all the time, oh, what's this mean and that. So.
Yep. And you have to stop me because sometimes I tend to get a little technical. So.
Well, that's your field, and that's what you're an expert at, so that's good, too. But, yeah, I'll stop you.
Okay, cool.
So how can I make my blog search engines friendly?
Well, by creating that title and description is one way. The other way is by being aware of the keywords that you use in every post. Your keyword should be in your title. It should be in your blog post to a density of about 2%. Now, what that means is if you write 100 words, two of those words should be your keywords. If you're writing 200 words, then four of those words, you know, should be your keywords. But you can check that very, very simply by going to a site called live-keyword-analysis.com. live-keyword-analysis.com. And you can take that post, plug it into that website, put your keywords above it, and it'll instantly tell you what your density is. Okay?
Okay.
So you should be aware of that, and you should be aware of the tags you use. You should always have a plugin in your WordPress blog called All-in-One SEO. That's SEO like search engine optimization.
What's a plugin?
A plugin is it's a little application that helps to make your blog just a little bit better. It allows it to do things that the standard WordPress blog won't do on its own.
Where do you get it?
You can get them at wordpress.org/extend. wordpress.org/extend. And what this does is it allows you to add that title and description and keywords to every post you make, every single post. And so when the spiders come, they're like, oh, okay, this is about keyword, keyword, keyword. This blog is about this. This post is about that, you know, and so that helps you. And if you're using, you know, the same keywords, the same synonyms that are associated with your niche all the time, then they're going to figure, you know, there's some good information here. Let's rank it in our results pages. And that's exactly what you want.
What if you write about different topics over a 2-week period? You have, let's say you're talking about feelings. One day you're talking about anger. Another day you're talking about happiness. Another day you're talking about stress. Or how would you handle that?
What would you consider those? Self-help? Would you consider that personal development? Self-help. Okay, well, then you go and you research keywords that apply to that particular niche. And, you know, it depends. You might want to use just self-help. You might want to use a longer phrase that's more specific. Self-help for depression. Self-help for self-esteem.
Anger,
you know,
let's
whatever.
Say. Anger management.
Anger management. There you go. You know, use those what we call long-tail keywords. Now, let me explain what that is. A keyword is a plain word, like self-help, for instance. Okay.
Okay.
You want to get as specific as you can. The more specific you are, the more likely it is that you're going to find a buyer. Okay? If you're selling chairs, somebody looking for a desk chair, you know, may come, but they may not. They'll probably go to somebody who has desk chair as a keyword. Or if they're looking for a leather desk chair, you know, they're going to go to that person who has leather desk chairs, and so on. And you know, the more specific you can be with your keyword phrases, the more likely it is you're going to run into buyers for whatever it is you're selling.
Where do I actually find keyword research? How do I do that?
Okay, there are several different places you can go. A very simple one is freekeywords.wordtracker.com. That's freekeywords.wordtracker.com. And it's much like the old Overture that everybody was using for the last several years and is now defunct. You plug in a keyword and it comes back with a whole bunch of, you know, words that apply to that, that, you know, are more specific or just a little different that you didn't think about. And, you know, you can also see how many people are searching for those words. Now, you know, if you find that at least 100 people a day are searching for your word, then that's probably an okay niche. If you find that 300 people a day are searching, that's even better. If you find more than that, that's great, but there's going to be incredible competition. So you might want to, you know, think about another word that's, you know, not 500 or 600 people, but 300 people are looking for, because then the competition won't be so great. For instance, golf, okay? Mm-hmm. Golf, think about how many people are searching for that word every day. And think about the companies that are spending big, big money to hire SEOs to get their page on Google's front door. Little guys like us can't compete with that. But if you're selling titanium golf drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as many people are searching for that. And
so
probably those
you can get.
Yeah, and probably those big companies aren't optimizing for titanium golf drivers. But if you do, and people are looking for that, then they're going to come to your site and they're going to buy from you.
Hmm. Thanks. Well, look at all that knowledge. Wow. I have to do a few of those myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Keyword research is like the most important thing you can do for your business. Absolutely, absolutely critical. You should buy. You should pick out, you know, like 3 to 5 keyword phrases, and just use them. I mean, write with them in mind, and usually you'll come out with the right density just because you're thinking about those words.
So I will include those in my articles, right? Or in my blog post, I should say.
Yeah. You shouldn't use them all at once. I mean, it's impossible to do. But pick one, maybe two if you're really good, and optimize for those. And then, you know, after a little while, after you've built up some speed, optimize for the other ones. You know, it's just, it takes time. It really does. You need to post every day. You need to use your keywords, and it'll all work out. I had Telman at number one on all three search engines at the same time at one point.
That's fantastic. And what are those search engines?
Google is the biggest, of course. Everybody mm-hmm. knows Google, right? And that's the one we optimize for because that's where everybody searches. And generally, if you optimize for Google, you're going to be okay with the other guys too. The other ones are Yahoo and MSN Live. But there's Ask. There's Cool Now, CUIL. There's tons and tons of search engines out there.
I think someone mentioned to me once that on Yahoo you will find more women. So if you're looking in a women's niche, that you want to probably definitely make sure you're using Yahoo.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Thank you. You just taught me something.
I'm listening at internet seminars to these speakers, and I learn.
Good for you. Yeah, I love them myself.
Actually, that tip was from Gina Gardio Graves.
Uh-huh.
She's the one who mentioned that once in her talk.
Uh-huh.
And she's
very
part
good.
Of this series, too. So
awesome. Mm-hmm. Gina's a good person.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
So what? Another question for you. What are Google Alerts, and how should I go about setting them up?
Google Alerts are great because what happens is when you go to let me think. I think it's google.com/alerts.
Okay.
But just, you know, Google Alerts and you'll find it. But anyway, you can have Google search for whatever term you want them to search for. So if you want them to search for your name, they'll do that, and they'll email you as often as you tell them to every instance of your name that comes up online. Somebody writes a post about you, you get a Google alert. Somebody, you know, writes an article and you're mentioned in it, you get a Google alert. And what's really helpful is if you have keywords in Google Alert for your niche, right, you're going to get digests, or you can get them instantly or every day, which is a lot of email. I suggest the digest kind, for keywords in your niche and see what everybody else is doing. You can learn from that. You can, you know, create blog posts from the ideas that you get from that. And it really will help you to, you know, write every day. That's what I do. When I sit down to write a blog post, I have no idea what I'm going to write generally. So I just surf around and find out what everybody else is doing. I look in my Google Alerts and then I, you know, write a post. So
are you saying that in your Google Alerts you have when certain people's names are mentioned, and then you follow what they're writing about?
Yep. Well, yes, but you can have any keyword. So if you're in the quilting niche, you can plug quilting into Google, and anytime somebody blogs or does a, you know, an article or a blog post about quilting, you'll be notified.
Oh, that's more clear, yeah. And you mentioned about writing on articles. Are you suggesting to write articles on the blog post or articles to, like, ezinearticles.com?
Well, you can actually repurpose the articles you write for ezine articles or the blog posts. I mean, you can rewrite them paragraph by paragraph so that you are not worried about duplicate content. You don't want, you know, too many copies of the same article out there floating around, because Google only gives credit to one site that has it, and it may not be yours. So the best thing to do is write an original blog post or article, you know, one way or the other, and then just rewrite it. You can rewrite it paragraph by paragraph, and that way you've got two independent written statements about the same thing, only in different words, and that works really well. You can even rewrite it the third time, and this is what I always did. I would rewrite it the third time, and I would put the third edition into isnare.com. That's I, S like Sam, N like Nancy, A-R-E, isnare.com. It's an article distribution service and an article directory. If you pay them $2, they'll distribute your article to 40,000 directories, newsletters, e-zines, you know, so it's really well worth the $2.
$2 per article, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that one just use for traffic. Don't worry about the search engine juice from that one. You'll just get traffic from it being in different places and in different e-zines and things like that. But that's a really, really great formula. It's proven to work. I did it for a couple years. We rank for it, like I told you, all at the same time for our main keyword in all three search engines.
That's fantastic.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good formula.
What if I choose to post other people's articles on my blog? Is that a good idea or not?
Well, it's duplicate content, but you can wrap it. Okay, you can post, like, write a paragraph or two about what the article says and why you like it or for whatever reason, and then post the article with the author's resource box. You always have to give the original author credit. And then at the end, you know, write a paragraph, wrap it up. Say, didn't you enjoy this, and here's why, da-da-da-da-da, or whatever. As long as you put your paragraph above and below, as long as you have more in your writing than in their writing, you're going to do well.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that. How would you suggest that I write my articles? Like, what length should they be?
In a blog, probably 300 to 400 words. They shouldn't be very long. You know, people don't have long attention spans online. There's just too much going on. In an article directory, Chris Knight, who owns eZine Articles, has told me 500 words is the optimal, you know, length for an article. 500 words, no less, because then that's just, you know, fluff, really. What can you say in 250 words? Practically nothing. But mm-hmm. 500 words gives you an opportunity to have, you know, an opening paragraph, a couple of paragraphs, and a closing paragraph, and that's all you really need.
Okay. And are there any other ways that I can post to my blog besides using articles?
Oh, absolutely. You can use videos. You know, you can make your own videos, or you can grab YouTube videos and do the same thing as I mentioned about articles. Write a little bit about the video and why you like it. You can use audios. Just get your little audio recorder. If you have Windows, there's one built in. But they're very inexpensive. You can get one for under $30. And just cord an audio with a headset that you can buy for, you know, $10-$20. You can get people to post for you. Get guest posters. Have someone write something and post it on your blog. There are so many ways to come up with blog posts that it's just so easy to do, really. Once you get into the rhythm of it, it really is, it's fun. It's just fun.
When you talk about a guest poster, would that be I get you to come and write something onto my blog for today?
Exactly.
Or how would how,
yep.
That's exactly what you mean? Okay.
I would write an article for you and put my name on it, and you would introduce it. Here's an article from Pat Marcello, da-da-da-da-da, and bang, there's my article. And you could wrap it up with something else, but you really don't have to. As long as it's unique content, as long as I'm not giving you something that I placed somewhere else, you're going to benefit. As long as your keywords are in that article. You wouldn't invite someone in a different niche to write in your blog. It's got to be somebody that's in, well, self-help or whatever it is you're promoting.
When you say make a video, how do you do that? Just get my camera out and then load it up and put it as my post for today?
You can, yeah. I just bought a really, really neat little camera called a Flip Video.
Okay.
It's made by Mino, I don't know, M-I-N-O. Anyway, it's about $150, I think. It has a button on it that you push to record. That's it. I mean, it's so simple. It's not funny. And it takes really, really great digital image pictures. And the sound is fine. I mean, you wouldn't expect it to. And the way I saw it was Brian Edmondson, who works with me at Overcome Everything and makes all the videos for the List Building Club. He did one with that, and I said, wow, you know, I never expected that it would be that good. And so I ran out immediately and bought one, and boy, are they simple to use. But you can use any kind of digital, you know, video camera, really. And then, of course, you're going to want to edit it, and you're going to need some kind of software. Sony Vegas is a good free program or trial program. I think you can get the trial program for about $50.
Okay.
The basic program. And it's well worth it because you can do so much with it. But you can edit it, put titles into it, music. You can do anything you want. And then you just render it as whatever file. I mean, generally the file extension is germane to the particular video site. They don't all accept all types of video. So you got to check that out. But it's not really that hard. It's pretty simple.
You know, I was just thinking, I want to backtrack a second. We're talking about blogging, but how do I even go and get a blog?
Oh, that's simple.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to WordPress.org, and you can actually download a free blog. If you don't know how to put one up, you can get somebody very inexpensively at Elance.com or Rentacoder.com and ask them to install it for you. Probably about $50 is what you would pay. Or if you know how to do things, you're going to go in and set up a database and install the blog yourself. It's not that hard. The other way is to get hosting with cPanel. That's C like Charles, P-A-N-E-L, cPanel. And cPanel hosting comes with it's an installer program called Fantastico. And so you log into your cPanel, which is your administration panel, and you go down, usually they're at the very bottom. It's a little smiley face, a little blue smiley face. And you click on there, and you can see all the programs that you can install. I mean, there's shopping carts, there's blogs, there's wikis, I mean, all kinds of things. And there's going to be a WordPress blog on there. So you click the button, you fill in some information, some basic information, and your blog is installed. Bingo. You press a button. Done.
And it really only takes, like, what, 15 minutes or so?
If you're slow. I mean,
yeah.
If you are a little bit used to doing stuff like that, it takes less than 5.
Yeah. Everybody says how easy it is, so it's just a matter of sitting down and doing one of those suggestions that you just gave us.
Oh, yeah. The only thing with Fantastico is people get confused because they ask you where you want to put the blog. If you bought a separate domain to put the blog on, then you would leave that blank. But if you're installing a blog on a subdirectory, then you would put, like if you want it to be yourdomain.com/blog, then you would put blog in there, and then it would be installed in that particular directory. So, I mean, other than that, it's just like ABC. You have to give them a password and a username and done. It's
okay.
Really simple.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
What is pinging?
Pinging is when you notify the blog directories, or the blog search engines, I should say, that you have made a new post. Now, with WordPress, you don't even have to do that because it will do it for you. Okay?
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah. But there are different sites that you can ping, and you can do it through PingGoat, PingGoat.com. You can do it through PingOmatic.com. And it's just a way to notify those blog search engines like Technorati and Ice Rocket that you have made a new post in your blog.
So I would do that above and beyond just the normal that WordPress does for me.
Well, they send
suggesting?
A ping out to Ping-O-Matic. I mean, that's pretty good. I actually have a whole list of sites that I let my blog ping. And actually, your listeners can get it if they would like to at blogging4boomers.com/ping, P-I-N-G dot T-X-T. blogging4boomers.com/ping, P-I-N-G dot T-X-T.
Thanks, Pat. That's fantastic. Everybody, you can go take a look at that, and that will be extremely helpful in your blogging efforts.
Yeah, and then you want to go into the settings once you have it, okay, and the right tab, and down way down at the bottom you'll see where it says Ping-O-Matic, and just paste that in over that because mine includes Ping-O-Matic too.
How can social bookmarking sites help me get more traffic to my blog?
Oh, I love Web 2.0. It's like so awesome, so much fun. The reason you should be bookmarking your posts every time is because you're alerting people who frequent Dig and StumbleUpon and Reddit and all those sites that you've made a new post.
Just a second before you go on. How do I bookmark it? What does that mean?
Well, you can actually go to a site called OnlyWire, OnlyWire, WIRE.com, and it will bookmark your post in about 20 different sites. You will have to join each one and fill in your username and password for OnlyWire, but it's just so simple. I mean, you go there and you fill in the title, your description, and your tags, which are your keywords for that particular post, and then push a button. You're done.
Okay.
And 20 sites get it. Yeah, so that's an easy way to do it.
And we only have to fill in all that information once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it just does it automatically for us.
Yep.
Great.
There's another one I like, too, called Social Marker. Social Marker. I don't have the URL. I think it is socialmarker.com, but you can
okay.
Google it. But this one is pretty cool because there's like 50 sites on there. But you actually have to go. The software takes you, or I should say the program takes you from site to site. And you can just drag from there, from Social Marker. You can just fill in the title and the keywords and the description. And then each time you go to a site, you drag it into there and click a button, and you know, it's done. So OnlyWire doesn't cover all the good sites. I mean, if you're going to do that, you should also do Reddit and StumbleUpon.
How's Reddit? How do you spell Reddit?
R-E-D, D like David, I-T like Tom.
Okay,
Reddit.
Great.
Yep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Then are there any other ways that I can get traffic to my blog in addition to the search engine traffic?
Oh, goodness, yes. We talked about article marketing. That's extremely powerful. It also makes you an expert in your field, so it's really cool. I mean, if you're not writing articles, you're really missing out. You need to do that. And if you can't write, you can go to elance.com and get somebody to do it for you very inexpensively, you know, like $10 an article. I wouldn't pay $2 an article because you're probably going to get garbage articles back.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hire people to do that for you.
Would that be a 500-word article or a bigger?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
You can do paid easing advertising to get people to your blog. You can do teleseminars, just like we're doing now, and tell people, you know, come to my blog. My blog is OV, like Victor Blogger, BLOGGER.com, by the way. So
okay.
You can all come and visit me there. You can do joint ventures with people. I mean, there's just press releases and podcasting and affiliate marketing. I mean, there's just so many things you can do, pay-per-click, Google AdWords, that to get traffic that you really will spend a lot of time getting people to come to your website.
Until, how do I get the paid eZine articles? Who do I pay? Are there particular sites that are set up for that?
Well, Charlie Page, who is a really, really nice man, has a site called the Directory of eZines, and it costs a little bit, but you can go in there and search for eZines in your niche, and it will come back with all the information about them, you know, how, what kinds of ads you can place in them, and there's three types of ads. There are solo ads that go out just like an email to the magazine's list. There are sponsor ads, and there are classified ads. There are also banner ads, as a matter of fact. The Directory of eZines will tell you what kinds of ads the eZine takes, how much they cost, how many words they should have, and all the information that you need to know in order to place the eZine ads.
What was that site?
I'm sorry?
What was the site for his, for Charlie's?
The Directory of eZines, directoryofezines.com.
Okay, great.
Yeah, he's awesome. He has a really good course about that that I went through last year. Let me think about it. It's eZine Success, something like that. But anyway, just check out Charlie Page and you'll find it. He's a great guy.
Okay, great. Thanks for that information. Wow, you're just full of information. This is fantastic. Look at all the stuff we're learning tonight.
You have no idea. We're scratching the surface here.
Really? Wow. I think we better just all sign up for your coaching because I think we need you to take us through this. It'll make life a lot easier.
Oh, well, that's a great idea. I like that idea.
Yeah. Where do we go for that?
Oh, you can just email me, pat@bloggingforboomers.com.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Yep. Thank you.
It's not inexpensive, but it's not as expensive as I paid Tillman.
Well, you certainly have all the knowledge. I mean, we always want people who have great expertise, and that's what we can certainly see you have.
Well, thank you.
So where should I send people who come to read my blog?
From your blog, you want to send them to your website where you make money, where you sell things.
And I was going to ask you before, I was going to say, why do people even bother to have a website anymore? Because it appears that a blog does everything that a website does. And it's also...
You know what? Yeah. I didn't have a website until Blogging for Boomers. Blog, you can sell things in your posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can write reviews and offer the product with your affiliate link. You can put widgets in your sidebar with banners, which I do. You know, I mean, I make money from those every month. I get nice
What's
checks.
A widget and a sidebar?
Oh, okay. Every WordPress blog has a sidebar, and you've seen them in magazines. They're little strips of information along the side of the article, right? Well, these are little strips of information aside your blog posts. And the way WordPress is set up, the sidebar is constructed of what's called widgets. And they're little bits of code or information or lists of things, for instance, links. I sell links on my blog. People pay me to advertise on my blog. So each widget can be set up any way you want it to be. You should always have an opt-in box on your blog so that people can join your list. It should be at the top of your sidebar so they can see it immediately. I mean, you can do anything you want with that sidebar. It's really cool.
How did you find people to advertise on your blog?
Well, you know, when your blog gets popular, people come to you. And I'm not at the stage where I'm like Jeremy Shoemaker who's making shoe money, who's making, you know, $20,000 a month. But when your blog gets really popular, people come to you. Or you can go to a place called text-link-ads.com and set yourself up as a publisher. And when you do that, they advertise with all the other different sites that are set up as publishers. And people find your blog because it's in their niche or it has, you know, you have keywords in there that they've searched for. And then they decide whether or not they want to advertise. When they advertise, you get part of the money and TextLink Ads gets part of the money.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it is great. But let me warn you, there's a caveat. If you sell text links on your blog, Google is going to penalize you. If you look at my blog right now, it has a page rank of 2, which is not good. I had a page rank of 4, and then they decided that they were going to penalize people for either selling or buying text links. So, you know what? I don't care. I'm making money. Google isn't going to tell me what to do with my blog. So, just a little caveat for you.
Yes, thanks for sharing that with us. Do you think that we should use our blog for advertising only or for information only?
I would suggest you use it for information with a little touch of advertising. Because let's face it, we're all in this to make money, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just like when you're writing to your list. You want to give them as much information as you can, but you also want them to buy things that you recommend. So the blog is no different. You give them information. You give them part of your personality. Your posts shouldn't be stiff and unyielding. Like an article, they shouldn't be as formal. They should be more conversational. More your personality should be in it. You should even kind of disclose some of your life in your blog if that's appropriate. And a mix is good. A mix is good.
Well, that's why people like you and want to follow you is because of your personality, and they
That's
feel
right.
they resonate with you.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Well, this has been so interesting. How about, can we switch now and you tell us a little bit, too, about what you do on a daily basis? I know that you said you're a content manager now, and what does that really mean? And also, when you do your search engine optimization, what kind of a role do you fulfill in that?
Well, not as much as I did. In February, I guess, I became the content manager. So I have my hand on every bit of content that comes out of Overcome Everything generally. You know, I mean, Telman's always the final approval, but when you see stuff on blogs and you see the List Building Club inside there, or I generally approve everything, I edit everything and hire people to do things. I hire outsource people to, you know, write blog posts, for instance. There's a lot of things involved. I mean, I make videos myself, sometimes for the List Building Club, sometimes for other purposes, sometimes just for training to teach people what I do in case I decide I don't want to be there anymore, which I can't see happening because it's just too much fun. but, I mean, I code HTML pages. I mean, there's so much that I do that really has nothing to do with content. too, but, you know, like easy and advertising. I just sent out a couple solo ads today, and I set up accounts for affiliates to do that, so I know how to do that, and there's just a ton of stuff that I do, but generally, I also manage a lot of what goes on in the List Building Club, like when the Frequently Asked Questions pages is updated, I do that. When, you know, I pick all the articles that go in there, I pick all the audios that go in there, and I look at all the videos, and I make checklists for those, and you know, I mean, just tons and tons of stuff all the time. I had to go out. It's funny, every Monday we have a meeting, everybody in the company. There's like 14 of us now. We get on the line and we talk about what we're going to be doing for the week, and the first thing we have to do is say what makes us happy for the previous week. So this week I said, you know, this is going to be really silly and you're all going to laugh, but I just went out and bought a whiteboard yesterday so that I could write down everything I have to do so I don't forget. I said, and I'm so happy because now it's all in front of my face, and Talman goes, Pat, that's not silly at all.
No, that's a fantastic organizational method to use for anybody. And you can see where you're going and map out the next 3 months, put up whiteboards all the way across. That's a great idea.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. If I can erase these things off with my thumb, I'm just happier than a clam.
They're done. Gone.
Gone. Over. We also have to handle fulfillment. You know, when we make physical products, I have to, you know, get all the stuff to the fulfillment people and get that all straightened out and sent off. And, yeah. So.
And you have to make arrangements so that the product gets produced.
Mm-hmm.
And the graphics, too, probably.
I don't do them, but I usually have someone do them. We usually have Brian Terry do them, who's awesome, awesome, awesome. He's just great. But, yeah, I mean, all that stuff has to come together, and be produced, and it's a complicated process. So,
how do all 14 of you split your roles? Everybody is assigned something in a different category?
Well, there are managers for each area. So I'm content, the affiliate manager, the customer experience manager, the tech manager, the copy manager. So, I mean, there are managers for every department, and then, you know, there are people that work within them. So it's kind of like an octopus with Telman as the center.
Mm-hmm.
Everything ultimately goes through him. It works very well because we all work really well together, and it's a great company, and I just love everybody in it.
If we're starting out, I mean, we're doing everything on our own. And then I guess how do you see a company grow to the point of having 14 people working on it and everybody doing a different function? Do you think that Telman originally would have added on as he got busy? Or what advice could you give to someone starting to try to achieve this quickly?
Well, you know, Telman achieved his success quickly. He's really brilliant, and his idea was to go and find the most brilliant people that he could and talk about list building. His concept was that he would build a list of 1 million people in 6 months, right, which is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And the people like T. Harv Eker, Jay Abraham, Bob Sheinfeld, you know, and on and on and on, Alex Mondozian, all these people thought that it was such a cool idea that they agreed to do teleseminars with him. And he did it in a way that his list grew very quickly. And in the first year, he made $800,000. And in the second year, he made like $1.3 million. And that's where, like, we came in at the end of that. He hired 6 people to be traffic apprentices, and he didn't pay us. You know, he said, you're going to learn something, and, well, you know what? Who cares, right? I learned search engine optimization. Somebody else learned press releases, and somebody else learned video and, you know, all these different things. And it was really fun, but it's really cool. I mean, we all benefited by it.
Did Telman know the technical when you said you were learning it? Did you, and actually at this point, I just want to remind everybody who's listening to this that remember Pat started 5 years ago and she didn't know a thing. And now just by listening to her, I know you can tell just how much technical knowledge she has. She knows so much. She can flip from the many different areas of internet marketing. And I think that should be a real inspiration for any of you who aspire, or you sit at home and you think, oh, it's too hard, or I'm never going to be able to do this, because it's just a little bit of knowledge being built on every day, and also hiring and working with someone who does have more knowledge than you. Like right now, too, if we all go and work with Pat, you can bet that we will have our blogs optimized in a flash, and we'll just be so much further ahead in even a month or a two-month time period than we ever would being on our own. So I really want to encourage people to go and hire the mentor and get them to help you. And I also just wanted to point that out, Pat, because, I mean, it is fascinating to hear you with all that technical knowledge and in what a short period of time you've done it. And really, it's probably more sort of the first 2 years you kind of stumbled around, and
mm-hmm.
It's really just been the last two or three where you've really escalated to understanding and knowing so much, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew HTML because I've had a website since like 98, right?
Okay.
So I've always been kind of able to pick around things and figure them out for myself. But the main thing is take action. If you're going to do something, if you want to do something, go do it. It doesn't have to be perfect the first time. You might fail miserably, but you're going to come away knowing more than you knew before you did it, and that's the thing. I mean, I've had websites that just absolutely were horrible in the past, and they just flubbed and died, you know? I mean, but I feel that I gain knowledge, and that's the deal. I mean, the more books you read, the more action you take, the more you're open to learning and not afraid to put yourself out there, the better off you're going to be.
Okay, yeah. Well, back with Telman, did he actually know the technical? Or he hired people around him and knows?
Mm-hmm. He knows some of it, but he surrounded himself with people. But Telman knows, you know, some of it. He doesn't know all of it. Neither do I. Neither does anybody, you know. But he started hiring. He actually started with five partners. And they would split the money in the beginning. He didn't know anything about internet marketing at all. And he had no money. I mean, if you listen to his story, it's just absolutely inspirational and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's come to have this multi-million dollar company that just cranks every day. And we move forward in some way every day. And it's just awesome. It's awesome to watch it grow. And so we're working with, like, Sean Casey now, and we're doing a lot of really much higher level marketing things, which are really, really cool. And, you know, you can get to that level, too. You just have to study it and live it and breathe it and eat it and enjoy it and have fun. And if you're not having fun, you shouldn't be doing it anyway,
mm-hmm.
right?
You know, when people tell you they make $1 million, don't they have a lot of costs associated with that? Like, it's not $1 million that's going into their pocket. It's $1 million in sales. Or what comments do you have about that? And does it take a lot
of...
Well,
yeah, pretty much. You know, like, there's a lot of expense involved in running a company like this. But, you know, think about it. You have $1 million. How much do you pay people? $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year, $50,000. I mean, if you're really paying them good salaries, you still have a lot of money left over.
Mm-hmm.
Your basic expenses online should not be very high. You need an autoresponder. You need a hosting company. You know, if you need a blog, that's on there. You don't have to worry. You know, you're just really set up for under $100. You buy a domain for $10 a year, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
I mean, it can be really inexpensive to get into business, and there's all kinds of free ways to drive traffic, and you just need to learn. You just need to learn them.
Do you think that building the list is what's the most important thing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, picking your keywords is really important, and then list building, list building, list building, because if you don't have a list, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So simple. I mean, that's what Telman tells us, and I know that's true because when I started with him, I had a list of 200 people. I didn't make any money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, and I had started a little bit, but then he taught me how to make it grow. And now I have 10,000 people on my list, and I'm making a lot more money because I'm able to offer them products from people that I trust, that I know will be good, and some of them take my recommendations, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And do you also do coaching and teaching people, don't you?
Yes, I do, on the side. And I love it because, you know, nothing makes me happier than being able to help somebody to succeed, even if just a little bit. I have this one client that just did a teleseminar series with some of the biggest names in network marketing. And he's an awesome guy. You know, he's not afraid to take action and do things, and he just jumps in there and does it. But the first sale he made, he had to call me, he emailed me, he Twittered me. He was so excited, he made $17.
Oh, but it's the first sale, and that's what matters, and it's so wonderful.
Yep, it really is. And I just love to see people succeed and do well after learning from me, and I just feel like that's why I think I was put on earth, is to teach people things.
And
I never wanted to be a teacher, but I've always been thrust into that role, you know. So I figured, well, heck, if I'm going to have that role, I might as well charge for it, right?
Yeah, you found your way there in a different way.
Yeah.
How do you do joint ventures? How do you go about getting a joint venture partner, and how do those relationships work?
Joint ventures are really fun, okay, because you get to meet somebody else that's in your niche and that understands the words you use and all that. You can just search in Google for your niche keyword and see what comes up. The main thing is see if the people have a decent website, see if they're list building. If they're not list building, forget them because they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to see if they're list building and check them out, and then call them and just say, hey, you know, I have a site about this, and I'd be interested in doing an interview or, you know, a joint venture with you. If you, excuse me, like to promote to my list, I'll promote to yours. And that's generally the ad swap is the baseline joint venture. But you can also do teleseminars together. I did one for Eric Stafford, and he did one for me, for instance, the Faster Webmaster. He's a great guy. He's also somebody that's really, really good for people starting out. So we had, you know, compatible lists, and it made sense to do that. So, you know, just talk to people, people you know, people you meet at conferences. That's the absolute best way to joint venture, you know, and just talk to people and see what you can arrange.
Yeah, at conferences you can get to know someone, and you just, well, that's it. You just build that connection, and you just feel comfortable with one another. It's a lot nicer than just searching out someone on the internet. So it's a wonderful way is to go to conferences.
Oh, they're absolutely essential. I mean, if you can't afford to go, you need to save your money until you can and then go. Because, yeah, the face-to-face is all about it, right?
That's right. Well, speaking of money, what kind of money can we make from a blog? What could we expect to make, say, in 6 months or in a year? Or is there a pattern or there isn't?
There really isn't. I mean, it depends upon how aggressive you are with your business. If you post every day, if you get noticed in the search engines, if you put, you know, if you recommend products in your blog and your list building in your blog, the bigger your list, the more money you're going to make. It's that simple, okay? But you can make little bits of money. You can sell text links. You can, you know, advertise, like I advertise Traffic Geyser, for instance. I try to advertise continuity programs, which are like membership sites, right? Traffic Geyser is a really great one because they pay 50% of their fee, which is $96. So, you know, for every person that you sign up, you're getting $50 a month. That's not bad.
That's
so
great.
I mean, and then
and
AWeber's, pardon me?
And it's ongoing, right?
Right. Until they drop out. So you definitely want to be affiliate, an affiliate for continuity sites or, you know, products that have a decent affiliate commission. And, you know, the more sales you make from them, the more money you're going to make, of course. I mean, Ryan Dice just had a launch last week.
Yes.
That was great. It paid a $750 commission.
How much was his overall product? $1,500?
$1,500, yep. So, you know, it just depends on what you promote, how aggressive you are, how big your list is. The list building thing is really important. And if you can't, if you want to do it quickly, think about co-registration. Co-registration is a service that will advertise your newsletter, your special report, whatever it is you're giving away to get people to sign up for your list, your ethical bribe, okay? They will advertise it for you until they get the number of names and email addresses that they promised. It's all legal because the people have to double opt in, and, you know, you can build a list very quickly that way.
Is this a service that you go and pay for or a website I go
to
hire them?
You have to pay. It's a membership site, and you pay so much a month for, you know, so many names. The more names you get, the more you'll pay. But it's a really fast way to build your list.
Do you remember the name of that site?
There are several.
I
still use List Builder Pro. List Builder Pro. The only thing is with co-registration, you cannot use AWeber as your autoresponder for those, because they won't accept co-registration names for what reason, I don't know. I guess they figure people forget that they sign up and complain, but I don't get any complaints. Anyway, you have to find a different autoresponder. List Builder Pro happens to have one that seems to work well for me.
Okay. If I were starting out today, do you think how much money do you think I could make in the first 6 months?
Oh, I wouldn't say $1 million, you know. If you're going to have a teleseminar series, you might make in the 10,000s. If you're going to do affiliate marketing to a list, you might make, you know, in the high hundreds. I don't know. It just depends on how you're pursuing the income and how you're writing your blog posts, what kind of an audience you're building, what kind of a list you're building. It just, there's so many factors, it's hard to say, oh, you know, if you do this, you're going to make $30,000 a month. Well, you know what? Shoe Money does that. Jeremy Shoemaker. There's another guy called John Cal, I think. He does very well with blogging. They get sponsors and they make a ton of money.
And but I'm not sure they did that in their first 6 months, did they?
No.
Right? We don't know that. But
no,
it takes,
they had to build an audience.
Yeah, it takes time to build to those big numbers, but people always make it sound like it's overnight.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you can be making money in about 90 days, and that's what I promise that you will. But, again, you know, it all depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how aggressive you are and how much you
want. And the action you take.
And the action you take, exactly.
Here, I have a question for you. You know, when I started, I told you I was doing this project because when I went to the first internet conference I ever went to, I noticed it was a field really dominated by men. And I saw the people on the stage were men, and there really weren't many women in the audience. Do you have some advice for women starting an internet business?
Well, yeah. I mean, don't even consider that there are so many men. Don't let that bother you, because there's a lot of women, too. They just don't seem to get as much publicity. Rosalind Gardner, she's been around for a long time. She makes a ton of money, okay? There's all kinds of women. Janet Becker, she's in Australia. She's doing some awesome things with wonderful web women. There's Christine Comerford. You know, I mean, she's awesome. She's doing really well. So, I mean, there's a lot of women, not as many, but there are more all the time. And so we're going to make it more and more and more and more.
That's why I thought I'm going to put this together so that people can hear about who the women are.
That's right. That's right.
Well, can you tell us, Pat, how our listeners can keep in touch with you and can find your information?
Sure. They can come to blogging for the number 4 boomers, BOOMERS.com. They can read my blog at OV like Victor Blogger, BLOGGER.com. Or if they're interested in personal coaching, they can write to me at pat@blogging4boomers.com.
I know if we go to bloggingforboomers.com, we can also sign up for your membership site, right?
Yes. It's $77 a year, and it's really worth it. I have more than 40 videos in there telling you all you need to know about setting up a blog, changing your theme, doing things technically. I have things on how you can make money with, you know, contextual ads and AdSense. There are articles. I think there's about 50 articles in there. There are lots of bonuses. There's about 13 different bonuses, but you can see all those on the sales page. But the biggest thing, and the reason that my people, I think, joined Blogging for Boomers is because they get me, okay? I do calls twice a month, the first and third Monday of every month, and I help people with any questions they might have. Sometimes we'll have a quick class beforehand, or sometimes I'll talk to them. Like this last time, I asked them who was building a list, and if they weren't, why not, and how could I help them to start? But it's great because I'm building a community. It's an open mic, and everybody gets a chance to talk. I've got a guy on there. His name's Edward Moore. He's doing wonderfully well. And he even chimes in and helps with the questions sometimes. So it's like a really cool community, and I want us all to be successful, and I want us all to be joint venture partners. And I tell them I'm building an army. We're going to take over the Internet.
There's no doubt that's going to happen. Well, you've got such a wealth of knowledge. I mean, we've just learned so many things here today, and I really appreciate all the pointers that you've given us. Thanks so much.
Oh, and you're very welcome.
I'm sure everyone is going to listen and re-listen to it and use your tips.
Fantastic. That's what I want.
So, okay, Pat, I want to say thanks very much, and we'll say good night to everybody. Bye, everybody. Bye, Pat.
Bye-bye.